Alright, so we're going to start over here in Shabbos on Vav Amud Aleph. We try to do, I think it's really the next couple blot, right? On the Rishiyos, on Dalet Rishiyos and Shabbos. And not so much the, we're not doing, you know, we're skipping over, we're not doing the stuff about what is Hotzah, we're not doing what is Hotzah, we want to do the question of what the Rishiyos are. And I think that would be beneficial if we eventually make it to Erevin, right? Because Erevin is about the tikkun of the Rishiyos. So stands to reason that you should first have an idea of the Rishiyos. Okay. So let's start over here. Now, before we get started, obviously you can't. Separate out the Rishiyos from the Malacha of Hotzah, because the Rishiyos are only important because of the Malacha of Hotzah, right? There's no independent idea of the Rishiyos on Shabbos that's not Nogeya to Hotzah. So the Rishiyos come from the Malacha of Hamotzi Mirishus LeRishus. Okay. Now, Hotzah is a unique malacha. Hotzah is a unique malacha. Anybody have any experience with this halacha?
Yeah.
Right? I didn't want to send you on a... I didn't want to overload you with all types of things to look around in, but... I mean, I think it's fairly common knowledge. Anybody who learns a little Shabbos, you know that, right, in the beginning of the first daf, it's what? Malacha grua. Malacha grua.
Yeah.
It's a malacha grua. It's called an inferior malacha. Now, why is it called an inferior malacha? Well, let me restate the question. What's the indication that it's an inferior malacha? Why does it need a new name? Why? And there's apparently it doesn't fit the Gemara and the Mishnayos and don't treat it the same way as they treat other malachos, and that's why Tosfos calls it a malacha grua. Yeah, maybe I'm not making myself clear. In other words, when I say why is it a malacha grua, I don't mean the svara right now. I mean, why did Tosfos have to come up with an idea that it's a malacha grua? What was the problem that he resolved by coming up with a new category of a malacha grua? Yeah.
There's no productive effect.
No, I don't mean that. See, that's not what I mean.
Just trying to understand what it is.
You're saying because the Mishnah was treating it as different?
Yeah, because the Gemara treats it differently. The Gemara treats it differently. How is it treated differently?
It's just difficult to peg down what it is.
No. Because the Gemara, first of all, the Gemara looks for a source in Psukim, right? And it looks for a source for Hotzah and Hachnasah, which it does, things it doesn't do by the other Malachos, right? Things it doesn't do by the other Malachos. And that leads Tosfos to want to know, why does it need more sourcing?
Is it not stated explicitly?
Then none of the malachas are stated explicitly. Yet the Gemara looks for explicit statements of regarding Hotzah. Right?
But they don't go to the other
one. That's his opening question over there, right? Tamer Luria, Mai Tzorach L'Misni Tarti, D'Ani Yudabal Abayas, V'chein B'rei Shavuos, V'fari Shemor, Shtayim D'Ani Yudabal Abayas, Mashayach L'Kroso Shtayim, Mali Ani Mali Osher. Why does the Gemara treat a mice of the Ani different than the Yashir? You know what I mean? So he says, Nir Luri, Ditzrich Lashmina Mishim Dotsa Malacha Grui. The Mali Motzi Mirshus Yachid Lushus Arab, Mali Motzi Mirshus Yachid Lushus Yachid. Velo Avigam Rinan Hotsa the Ani mi Balabayas, Velo Balabayas mi Ani. You wouldn't have, it's a Malacha Grua, because what's the difference? What's the difference, really, if you're Motzi from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Rabbim, or Rishus Yachid to Rishus Yachid? Right, you wouldn't have learned one from the other. Teda midistrich trei kroy beotzah kidnaf belam bereisha zorik mi vaychali am mehavi psil perak am derev nafkalam mikro achrina. Yeah.
Is this just
V'hainu mishum da malacha gruahi, itzrich tervayu, chad la'oni v'chad la'asher. V'chein b'chol toldos da ovos, malachos lo chashinan sheba mishkan. Ela avos bilvad, b'toldos da otzah, bo'yinan sheba mishkan. That's another strange thing about ben otzah. In all the other cases, the av is in the mishkan, but the toldo is not. There's no necessity of finding the tolda in the mishkan. But by Hotzah, the Gemara looks for even the toldos should be in the mishkan. Right? A pasha balvayis yodo. One thing. Shtei gezuzra, zu keneged zu, amoshi vazorg mizu lezu, potter. Yeah, okay, fine. One second. It means inside, outside, or outside, inside.
If it's looking for, and then
the Gemara says, then the Gemara is trying to find a case of Mavir Daladam Shusha Rabim, and it finally has to say it's a Talacha Moshmizinai, right? V'chol Eil told the Hotzoninu V'lo Avos Shein Avos Ela Arba'im Chasarachas. Yep. The Gabi Echnasa Nami Arminan Heim Helut Roshim Mekarkal Agola Afatem Al Tachnisim Shusha Rabim Shusha Yachid. Okay. So the point is that just empirically, you see the Gemara deals with the Malacha Votzah. We're not going to go into all of these cases, but you see empirically, I mean, I think you should take a look at some of these halachos. Empirically, the Gemara treats Votzah differently than it treats the other Malachos. And it demands more. Yeah.
Successful in finding those specific
ones? Yeah. Oh, yeah, mostly. But the question is why? That's Tosafot's question. Why? Why is there more necessity of finding these sources by Hotzah than there is by the other malachos?
So the whole thing seems contrived.
One second. So that's what he calls malacha grua. I'm just trying to get the full picture here.
Wouldn't
okay.
That seem the opposite of malacha grua?
Okay. So what is malacha grua? Now you want to say Israf?
Because there's no by, as opposed to the other malachos where there's something productive being done. There's nothing productive being done here. It's just a transferring of an object. Like by weaving or you're creating a weave, but by the object is just being moved around.
Right, that's true. It's a malacha grua. He's saying why? Because all the other malachos are what? Huh?
Productive.
Productive. What does productive mean? Create something. Comes from the word product.
Why don't say doing something? Because
you're
it's not just an action.
Well, one second. But aren't all the? Let's just deal with the facts. Are that what the other malachos are productive, as you say, right? The other malachos are productive. Even the ones that are destructive are almanas livnos, almanas litvor, almanas lichtov. So you could really say. That what? That it says some sort of a tikkun, right? Some sort of a tikkun in the
thing. With something which you did not originally have, whereas here you have the same exact thing. It's just some sort of location. Why is it location disruption?
So, in other words, over there the product is in the cheftza that you're the maisa is really done is really improving the object, changing the object. Here it's just changing the place of the object, right? You wouldn't say that's productive in the same way as Yehuda says, taking a thread and making a bengen, right? Maybe more important, but. Yeah, maybe more important, but that doesn't mean it's malacha. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't fit the mold of ordinary malacha. So you have to find. That's why I'm saying you need to find the sources for it.
I mean,
like again, I'm not. Again, I mean, this is really this itself is a whole something to think much more into. I'm not really explaining that much. I'm just trying to show the nature of the. You see that it has a different nature. This malacha has a different. A different productivity. No, exceptional. No, in the end of the day, it's a malacha gerua. I mean, say it does partake of the idea of the other malachos, but not. It's not changing. It's changing an accidental feature of the thing.
Okay.
right? It's changing an accident of the thing, its place, as opposed to a shinoi in the thing itself. It wouldn't be kona. If you stole something and you changed it from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, that wouldn't be a shinoi, you wouldn't be kona, right? Okay, you can say because it's chozel b'riyasa, but I think even aside from that. But over here, the other malachos are actually processing the object.
What about like Rishima?
Yeah, so you created something. Created something that's even more. You created something that wasn't there. Let's say this, that all the other malachos, you're producing something. Right? Let's not get into if you're changing the object or if you're creating something new. We don't need to get into such fine detail right now. But over here, the object in all of its description is the same. The only thing that's different is its place. Right? Now, of course, Ariel... So how do we know that that's considered a... How do we know that that's considered something that's significant? Right? That's significant. I mean, the object's time is always changing. Right? But its place is... okay, we can't change its time. But the object's place is considered a significant change. Right? You don't say it's a new object because its time is changing all the time. So that you need... That's what you're saying, that... You need to see that it's endorsed in the Torah. That type of a change is considered productive in terms of Shabbos.
Wait, nobody's arguing that it changes. Well, we don't care.
That leads us to where? Now, is the other malachos, the question is the product. That's going to be the question. How much of a product is the product? Right? How much of a binyan is a binyan? How much of a ksiva is ksiva, right? Because we're creating something new.
So now, how much of a place is a place?
We're creating something new, so we're gonna judge the object. We're gonna judge by the product. But over here, what do we? Over here, it's a different question. Here, we have to know the different kinds of places. That's what we have to know. How is it productive? It's productive because you want it in that new place. What are you changing?
Location.
It's location?
No, don't.
It's a malacha gruva.
Well, you have to see the cases. Like, they would load the crusher onto the wagon. So now it's ready.
Beams. I mean, the only one I have, like, to change places in the city, I mean, like, I guess that's not the place, I mean, the house or place, I mean,
right.
Upstairs, you know, the different places.
Right. I mean, that's true. That midrabanan, that they did extend it to that way. To any, even within one Rosh Hashanah Yachid, if it's different ownerships, it's considered the change. But midoraisa, it's not nitfas. The change from one Rosh Hashanah Yachid to another Rosh Hashanah Yachid is not considered that anything happened. Halachically, the halacha goes by the general Rosh Hashanah, not by the bailus. So it's not Ola. It doesn't count. It's not considered. Yeah. Yeah, but again, the question now is going to be, what are these... the first question is, what are these places? What are these Rishuyos? What are these Rishuyos? Now, of course, we're not going to deal with the second question, which is, how does it partake of one Rishus? How do you effectuate the change of from one Rishus to the other Rishus? That's a big sugya of Akira and Anocha and all that, right? We're going to really deal more with with the places that that are the accidental qualities in the thing, right? Okay. So we need to know the Rishios.
But in terms of the basic definition of the
Munach, that's considered its place. I mean, basically, wherever it's Munach is its place. And to be to change its place, you have to uproot it from that and put it into another one. Right? Okay. So that's what the Gemara starts off. It says, Dalid Rishuyos L'Shabbos. Yeah. So someone asks right away, what's a Rishus? what's a Rishus? What's the Lashon Dalid Rishuyos? What are the four Rishuyos? Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaRabim. So far so good. You got two of them, at least they have the word Rishus in there. Right? Then you have Carmelis and Mokom Patur. Yeah. So what does Rishus mean? What does the Rambam say? Rambam says there are four Makomos, right? Four Shinoi Makomos. Is that what the Rambam says? In the Perish Shnayas? Four different types of Makomos. Shinuyei HaMakomos. Different places. But then he says, then he uses the Lashon of Rishus, no?
No, when he said
Vehena Nikrin Rishuyos Shabbos.
Yeah. And then he says Echol Rishus Rabin Hu HaMakom.
Right. Yeah. It's an interesting question.
Well, he's not going to say Echol Rishus Rabin Hu HaRishus.
Right. But what does it mean? What does it mean, Rishus Rabin? Does it mean it belongs to the Rabin? It belongs to the Yachid? I mean, isn't it the Rishus is... Rishus is a term of what? Ownership almost, isn't it? Usually it's a term of ownership. But, I mean, the Midbar, the Rabbim considers the Midbar as a Rishus Rabbim. Certainly don't know that nobody owns it. The Rabbim don't. Do they own it? So what do you think? I mean, this is just a side point. I'm not really sure if it's...
What was the question?
Could you give a definition to Rishus, the term Rishus, that we could use?
Control of it.
Right, so in English you say domain. Domain, public domain, and private domain.
Right, nice, because it's dominion. You have control over the things.
So it means that the Rabbim have control over it. Or that the private people have control over it. I don't really have any support for this, but I have a sense that the term Rishus, as applied to a makom, the Rambam says it's a makom. They're four makomos, and they're called the rishuyos. It is interesting how he says it, isn't it? I think it's not really technically a rishus. He says that they're the heim hanikroim rishuyos Shabbos, the rishuyos of Shabbos. So, I don't know. It just seems to me that a rishus is a term for a unification of a makom. Means to say, place is divisible, right? Place is the ground is a continuous entity, right? So what breaks it up into different places? What breaks it up into different places? So there are certain characteristics that will break up the karka into different mekomos. That characteristic is the unifying idea. Those unified entities are called rishuyos. So normally, in the day-to-day, in our day-to-day life, what is the characteristic that breaks up karka? Ownership. But in Shabbos, it's different. In Shabbos, is a different characteristic, a different quality that breaks up karka. Right? But the Rishus then is not really the domain of an owner, but it's the dominion of a certain characteristic. So wherever, if one characteristic pervades an entire region, that's called one area. Right? That's one Rishus. So now what we're looking for are characteristics that will define a place, that will define a place. Okay, I'm taking a little bit of liberty with the word. I'm not really linking up to the etymology of Rishus, maybe. But I think that's the concept that we're looking for. Okay, so what's a Rishus HaYachid? Yeah, all right, we'll have to get to why it says Gemur later. But so what's a Rishus HaYachid? What's a Rishus HaYachid? What does the Gemara say? It gives two examples, right?
Up or down.
It's a ditch. That's 10 tefachim deep, and four tvachim wide, and also a geder. What does it mean, a geder that's 10 tvachim high and 4 tvachim wide? What does Rashi say? Geder. So it means the geder itself, right? It means the geder itself. No?
I don't think the geder can be roughly.
Well, a kosel can be.
Well, you mean the geder on top of it.
The top of the wall.
Pretty thick
wall. Yeah, been to Israel.
That you need that to define our issue.
Right. No, you don't need a ditch either. But it's giving two examples of Rosh Hashanah. What is it? One is the ditch. A little unsatisfying, these definitions, aren't they? They're like Plato would not be happy with this, right? But what is a Rosh Hashanah? You've given me two fine examples. Right? Well, what is it? Huh? Yeah. Okay. Lest you think I'm insane over here, I'll enlist the help of Rabbeinu Nisim. Okay. On Bays, Amud Aleph, in the Rif. By the Tana Rabbanan. You don't have a riff? You don't have the Ron?
Yeah.
Take a look at the Ron and Daf Beis, I'm gonna out. Tana Rabbanan, the second Tana Rabbanan on the page. Right. Arbor Shius Shabbos. Mitnick, what's the problem? Geder Kosel Shehu Gavoa Asara of Rochav Arboa Havi Rosho Rishus Yachid. Okay. So that's what he's talking about. Talking about the top of the wall. Why is that a problem?
There's no
accuracy.
That's why he says kosel. That's exactly why he says kosel.
But kosel doesn't.
Kosel has thickness. A geder doesn't. Kosel has thickness. A geder doesn't.
That's very weird, though. It's a weird case to describe.
Okay. So we should be happy. Because if it comes out exactly like we think, then we're not going to gain any knowledge. Right. That's like the scientists now are they're saying that if the smasher doesn't produce what they think, that'll be the best. Okay.
What were you saying the difference between a getter
and
a
smasher? Is that the scientific name, the smasher?
The Large Hadron. You're good. just linguistically, the connotation of a geder is anything, is a kosher.
Okay.
And a kosel is a thick wall.
Okay.
And that's apparently why he says you should means kosel. I mean, obviously geder doesn't have to be because the Gemara uses the lashon of geder, right? Okay, so anyway, so Gedeshu Shehu Gavo Yud Rochav Dalad. Because otherwise it wouldn't, truthfully, it wouldn't really read properly, right? It shouldn't say the Geder is Yud and Rochav. It should say Geder Yud, you know, Saviv Mokom Dalad, something like that. Mokom Dalad, Mukaf B'Mechitzas Yud. Right? All right, let's see the Rabbim. All right, so you want to take a look at the Rambam on this? And the Pirush Shnayos, what does he say? Rambam says, I'm a little bit frustrated. Rambam starts with Rishus Rabbam for some reason, right? I said, maybe we should do the Rishus Rabbam, then we'll come back and do the Rambam. Sorry. Right? Because Rambam starts with Rishus Rabbam. So let's do the next case. Go ahead. What's Rishus Rabbam?
Nezir Rishus Rabin, Sarchia Palpia Tidola, Mubu Samufulashins, Mubu Samufulashins, Zir Rishus Rabin.
Gemora.
It is a Sarchia, Rashi, Silash Ovens. It's like a highway that people go from city to city.
Okay, so one is the highway people go from city to city on. Okay, and what's the other one?
Palpia is like a big square, city square where people sell stuff, gather.
Yeah, city square. Center, what do they call it? Center, city square?
City center, plaza.
Plaza, platia, it's like plaza.
Yeah.
Think it comes from that word? Yeah. The plata, isn't there a place in Israel in the old city? No? Anyway. So, is it a mavuos shel ear? Yes, Rashi is mavuos shel ear that are 16 amos wide. Right?
The actual city streets.
A mavu, everybody knows what a mavu is. And what are what's mufuloshim? They're mufuloshim mishnei rosheyan to what? Two gears over here.
Oh, really?
It could be mufulosh or sussum. Was a mavoi is a corridor, some sort of a corridor.
So we're not talking about every 16 amma wide street in the city. It has to be connecting to either the palkia or the
it can't be a dead end street.
Say, but let's say it just connects to another 16 amma wide.
Well, see, those are the two. Those are the two gear cells over here. Either according to the one we have, it means that. Well, how could it connect from two ends to this one thing?
No, I'm saying it's just. Just in the middle, you have a whole bunch of streets. Each one of them is 16 amos wide.
Right, like if we were going to another mavoi, that wouldn't be.
We're not talking about just the stop streets.
Right. According to the other gears, it would imply that it runs through the entire city. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Connects the highway to the highway through the city.
What would it mean if it's connected to the patio? What would it mean if it's open?
So if I would ask you the difference between the Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRabim, what would you say? Generally speaking. Just as a good, as an intuitive move. The difference between what makes a Rishus HaYochid or Rishus HaYochid versus what makes a Rishus HaRabim or Rishus HaRabim, what would you say? It would seem that in Rishus HaYochid, yeah? No, the Rishus HaYochid is focused on, it seems, measurements, right? It just seems that way. Rishus HaRabim seems to be more focused on the function, on the usage. Right? It's only Rashi adds in the dimensions. But the Gemara doesn't even mention any dimensions.
Seems like it's just a way to measure the usage. The Gemara doesn't mention 60
hours? Yeah, the Gemara does.
Oh, the Gemara does.
But in summing it up, it doesn't. In going down to what it would seem to be what its essence is.
It seems like
Rishus HaYochid just talks about dimensions. Right?
The Rabim dimensions seem like just accidental. It's just like a way to describe.
Well, we'll see. We're gonna have to get in. The Rishus HaRabim is interesting. It's difficult. I mean, everybody knows the 600,000 issue. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll have to see if we can explore that a little. You know whether 600,000 people have to go into the, you have to travel there in a day. Brooklyn, you're from Brooklyn. All right, let's take the round. We're gonna try to get. I know we're going very slowly, but it's a new ground. So let's cover it slowly. Go ahead. Yeah, sure.
Lefnei she'achil b'perish.
No, not that part. Go ahead. Echad me'am.
Echad,
Yeah.
Different
gear scenes, just
have different. Oh, okay. Keep going. Yes, that's Erevin. Good. Yeah. Mehim shinuye Shabbos arba. So ha'echad rishus harabim. The first one. Rabim v'u ha'makom she'harabim bokim bo.
Okay, so the Ram says, what's a rishus harabim? So he just gives a description, right? It's like a functional description that what? That they break into.
I guess put in between, so like why does he use that kind of phrase to describe it?
He says She yidruhubo kolam kulam. Go ahead. Ubitanoi
is the way around the Korah. So as long as it's not looped, Shay Berachavo Shishas Amma or Yoter, and it has to be at least 16 Amma.
Okay, so 1 second. I'm just trying to figure this out. That what? So there's what it is, And then there are certain conditions.
Right.
In other words, the essential characteristic is that it's the makom sheyijichu bo kol ha'am kulam. Right? That's the essential nature of it. Okay? But not any place that the Rabbim go, apparently, not any place the Rabbim go will have the shame of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. There have to be certain conditions that are met in order for that function to define the makom as a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. That's in my, in the back, it's in the regular Ibn Dibur. Okay. Good. So what are the tanoim? What are the conditions?
Yeah, shelo yehim korah. They can't be roofed in the sheher berchavo shishasrei amlo yuzer.
So there can't be any roof on it. We'll get to that. And it has to be 16 amos wide. Or more. Velo yehetoch dlosayim. Ochomos medina. Can't be contained within doors or the wall of the city.
Yeah, we have velo yehelo shahar.
Right, okay. Okay, so if there's a city with a wall and locked gates, then that has a different din. That's not Rosh Hashanah. Go ahead.
About Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, he could go in Hamidbaras v'Hayaros v'Adirachim Hamikulashim Lahim.
So the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is like what?
Deserts or forests.
And places that go into them.
Yeah.
But I don't understand that because the Rabbim aren't both in there. They're not
walking. In the deserts and in the forests.
Yeah. Yeah. That seemed like the essential characteristic of the four.
Yeah.
And he seems like he's going back on an example of that characteristic. After having gotten through the Tanoi, he's going back to that original thing.
Right.
But he gives something that has nothing to do with the Rabbim now.
It's true. Go ahead, let's take the next one. So now he sounds like Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and Rosh Hashanah Yochid are both have a descriptive essential nature. Right? It's funny how he starts off with what? He's saying Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is the place where the Rabbim are boken bo, and it has conditions, and Rosh Hashanah Yochid is the place where the Rabbim are not boken bo. Right? But this one has a shear. Doesn't have a tanai. Has a shear. Okay, I'm not sure if that's different or not. Go ahead.
O user al shirim elu, avon haya pachos mizeh be'achad mishloshet tzladim elu, inu rosh hashanah yachin. So it has to be at least 10 by 4 by 4, and if it's less than any of that, it's not considered rosh hashanah yachin.
What are the three?
10 tefachim high, 4 tefachim wide, and 4 tefachim wide.
Right. So it's an interesting thing. The interesting thing that Rambam says that what? What's interesting the way he expresses over here? Interesting the way he expresses is, says that the makom has to have a height of 10. Right? The makom has a height of 10.
As opposed to
the way you normally think about it, it's surrounded by walls of 10. Right?
What's height after that? Like, how do you have height under
it? So how do you have height on the makom? That it's elevated. Or, apparently... Or elevated or descended. I mean, how do you have the chorus? Why do you call the chorus has a height of 10?
Right.
Has a height of 10. Right? Can you say the chorus also has a height of 10?
Mm-hmm.
The mukom has a measure in its height measurement of 10.
Is that relative to the immediate ground? Or?
Relative to its, from itself.
Right, it's a contrast.
From itself. Its dimensions. So he's saying either you can get the dimensions by being on the top of a pillar, or in the ditch. Strange.
You exclude if you just had a piece of ground surrounded by walls. that the actual ground is the same height as the ground outside the walls, just because it's surrounded by Torah.
Yes, now he goes through the cases. That what? The Ein Chilak Bein. Well, you might have different words. Go ahead.
The Ein Chilak Bein Shehaya Amud Omeid Al Pnei Haaretz V'Yishbo Shir Zeh. O Shehaya Chariz V'Haaretz V'Yishbo Orach V'Rocha V'Gova K'mo Sheh...
V'Gova or V'Omek?
V'Gova.
Okay.
K'mo Sheh Hisnein. O Makom Mukaf Arba M'Chitzos K'gon Ha'Bakim V'Hachatzir.
He just suddenly introduced that.
It's interesting, right? It's interesting. He's trying to work in, how do you get walls, how do walls fit into the same idea of the elevated platform or the depression?
Right.
Right? He's trying to unify them all. Good.
Hakol Nikran Rishasa Yachid. Tanai she did gova mechitzos asar tvachin kmo shubiyanu.
But he does come back to treat that one a second time.
Yeah.
Right? He does have to come back to the mechitzos and make a second statement about it for some reason. Right? He doesn't repeat that the height of the amud or the depth of the ditch. Right? Yeah. Right, let's think about that, Ram, a little bit. So, in other words, so since Tosfos says that Shabbos, that Hotzah is a Malacha Gerua, right? Just like we have to learn, we learn Hotzah and Achnasah from the Mishkan separately, we also have to learn the Tzuros of the Rishus HaRabim from the Mishkan. Okay? And there are a few Gemaras that go into the where we derive from the Mishkan what a Rishus HaRabim is. Okay, so that's what I'm telling you. Sadi Vav Amud Bey is the top of the other Gemara, discusses it a little bit. And then on Sadi Tes Amud Aleph, it's a little bit complicated, that Gemara, Sadi Tes Amud Aleph. But you'll see the Gemara is discussing how you know how wide the street has to be. Okay, it's towards the end. Derech Rishus HaRabim Sheish Esrei Amah. Okay? You see, that's derived. I really just want you to know that fact, more or less. Yeah, then in Erevin on Vav Amud Aleph, the bottom, the Kates of Marvin Derech Rishus HaRabim. So there Rashi mentions the 600,000. Okay. And what? In Erevin. And Tosos, Kates of Marvin Derech Rishus HaRabim. He tries to support Rashi. He has a question on Rashi and an answer on Rashi. Okay, but he seems to agree with Rashi. There's one other little thing. I mean, I don't know if you got to it or not. With the Gemara, the steer, whether a Carmelist or a Rishus HaRabim or not. So the Gemara says, one is talking about when the Bnei Yisrael were in the Midbar, and one is when they were not in the Midbar. Right? That's on Vav Amud Bez.
In Shabbos.
Okay. There's that. Maybe we'll get to that. Now, there's also, if you could, there's a Ramban in Erevin, a small Ramban in Erevin, where he discusses this question, whether there's a requirement of 600,000 or not. Okay. Where is that Ramban? One second. I forgot the daf. I'll have to look for it again. Maybe.